Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Isabel Twite, the psychotherapist and author, is with me to talk about, well, I was going to say breaking bad habits, right? But I've got an issue with the premise there, Isabel. They're only bad because we say they're bad.
Well, you probably don't really want to watch somebody picking their nose.
Well, you see, I have a thing about picking your nose, right? I think we've evolved to have this perfect finger-shaped hole at the end of our nose for a reason. You know, I think nature wants us to pick it.
Okay, but maybe we need to teach people to pick their nose in private.
Okay, exactly. Okay. What we are doing here, though, is maybe trying to offer some advice to people who've got little people in their lives in particular who are picking noses or biting nails. That's one that we have in our house at the moment. Is there a reason that they do these things?
I mean, there's a few different reasons, so don't get too uptight about it. Sometimes it's just out of boredom or because they're curious. And once you start doing a thing repeatedly, it becomes a habit quite quickly. Or it could be for comfort or anxiety relief. And then for nose picking, you actually have factors like allergies and stuff that's actually affecting what's in your nose, which might make you want to get at it.
It's just a kind of a natural inclination,
yeah,
that there's a bit of me, like an itch in your forehead, you'd itch it. And
yeah,
if they feel something at their nose, they'll put their hand towards it.
Yeah, and the nail biting again could start because a nail is broken or there's a hangnail or, you know, or this person sucking their thumb or something like that.
Or just economy of effort. They think, you know, the scissors is all the way over there.
I don't think a three-year-old's thinking.
So there's very advanced three-year-olds these days.
Yours probably are.
And they're thinking, you know, this I can multitask here and I can watch Netflix and I can bite my nails at the same time.
Yeah, but I think if you've got somebody who's really biting their nails down to the quick and making their fingers sore, then that's really going to be an anxiety-based habit, almost certainly, I think.
So then in terms of dealing with it, because let's stick with the fingernail biting for the moment, because I'd imagine most people just kind of deal with the symptom then, the fingernail biting. You know what I mean? And we'll talk about all these different creams you can put on it or stuff you dip your finger in. Jordan Longford says his brother used to bite his fingernails and his man would dip his fingers in mustard so that the taste, you'd have this awful taste. That is awful, isn't it? But if it's caused by anxiety, it strikes me you've other things you need to be dealing with.
Yeah,
there.
I think if it's caused by anxiety, you need to be just looking at the anxiety levels of that child and implementing sort of anti-anxiety things like, can we put your worries in a box overnight? And just maybe trying to discern yourself what might be causing the child anxiety. But once a habit gets ingrained, it's ingrained as well. So it's sort of like you have to attack on both levels, both on the habit itself. But I also think with small children, you know, you shouldn't get too uptight about habits. You know, you just have to think, you know, are they really going to be doing that when they're 18 or 20? You know, so
I like picking your nose as long as they learn to just do it in private.
Just do it in bed
with the light off. Yeah, quietly.
Go into the bathroom. Do it in the bathroom.
Exactly. Not like the rest. What am I saying?
Not in your car, though.
No.
Tell them not to do it in their car.
People imagine that they're kind of
private.
Invisible. It's remarkable the amount of people you see in their car excavating their nose.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's a whole separate issue. Where should they start then? Whether it's kind of biting the nails or picking the nose or whatever it happens to be.
You want to start using gentle reminders with them, and rather than going, stop picking your nose, how about let's use a tissue instead? Or maybe go to the bathroom and do that, something like that.
Okay.
Or provide alternatives, because if it's a fidgety-based anxiety thing, it may be just having something to do with their hands.
Okay.
So, you know, giving them something to do with their hands, redirecting them away from the habit, that might help.
You mentioned some of the causes being kind of congestion around the nose or kind of an itch or a scratch, something that they're kind of reaching out for. I guess deal with the physical symptom as well.
Yeah, maybe just check if they have allergies or if there's something else going on that's producing a lot of mucus. Maybe they're not dealing well with dairy or something like that.
I'd imagine, because you talked about it, after a certain amount of time, it just becomes habit that Kids will be doing it then without realising.
Totally unconsciously. They'll just be starting at it.
Yeah.
So also then if you're in public, you might want to have some kind of non-verbal cue with them, you know, where you pat them on the shoulder, their head, or, you know, something that they can associate with it, that you're sort of saying, listen, hun, yeah, not in public.
And just, I assume then it kind of becomes Pavlovian after a while. You tap them on the head and they don't even realise it's happened. They take their hand out of their mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. They're simple creatures, really, aren't they, these kids?
Humans. Humans are simple creatures. We're just animals after all.
What about if it is caused by something more deep-seated, like the anxiety?
I think if you feel like you probably know if your kid is prone to anxiety, and then you just need to be working on general soothing, helping them self-regulate, helping them deal with their anxieties. And so that's a lot of those sort of childhood things of, you know, putting their worries away at night is a really useful one. Maybe in the daytime, having a little, you know, a little box where you can write a worry down for them and put it into it, yeah, so they can stop worrying. Those kind of things are really helpful. And also then I think also putting in place some really positive things for them. Like if, you know, sometimes kids are feeling a bit, you know, a bit at odds with the world, and maybe taking them out for a walk with the dogs and having a chat with them, but indirectly, or taking them to do something nice, but not as a treat per se, but just giving them more attention in lots of small ways, can really calm down a lot of those things as well.
And this is just kind of born from personal experience. If you've got more than one child, it's separating them to do that. I always think it's amazing how much you get out of one when they're on their own compared to together.
Yeah, it's really great.
One of them, and he knows which one he is, sucks up all the oxygen in the room.
It's really great to separate them out and take them out for individual things.
Yeah.
And particularly when you do have one that sucks up all the oxygen in the room. But it just, and again, I think it's important not to always make those things like say they're treats, but to actually just go and do a little bit more individual stuff, particularly with a child that's having a bit of a tough time at the moment. And it really can make a difference, you know, maybe picking them up from school one day when you wouldn't normally, and going and doing something, or but like sort of, yeah, not to make it specifically a treat. And just the increase in attention often eases a lot of things.
And, you know, in that context as well, say the child is maybe having issues as well. The danger is, as a parent, you kind of turn into a bit of a nag because there's always something you're correcting them about.
Yeah.
And that kind of, I assume, applies to this as well.
Yeah. I think it's really important to prioritise your relationship with your children, that it's fun, that you enjoy each other, that you're not nagging. Now, I was lucky in a way that I had two stepchildren that were older than my own children, and I just had to not interfere in a bunch of things in their lives. So I never nagged them about tidying their rooms. I left all of that stuff. And then I realised when it came to my own, like, why would I bother nagging them about this stuff? They can have an untidy room. I don't care. So I just think there's so many things you don't have to get into battles of wills with your children. And the less you get into a battle of wills, but are clear about the things that you think are really important. So, you know, I mean, if nose picking in public is extremely important in your set of values, yeah, maybe you want to work on it. But if you think, yeah, you know, if your kid picks their nose the odd time, and if you can get them to do it in private, that's okay. Just kind of let it go and don't turn it into a battle of wills.
What about the stuff, the clear varnish and things that you put on?
I mean, my daughter used to suck her thumb, and she decided she wanted to stop sucking her thumb. I mean, I wouldn't have forced the issue because I kind of think she's not going to suck her thumb when she's 18,
yeah,
right?
Sorry you say that. Someone has texted in, my sister, age 43, still sucks her thumb.
And I think
we could be out for dinner and she'll do it. It's so weird.
I know. Some people do. They really like that oral comfort, but does it really matter? You know? Anyway, my daughter announced to me she wanted to stop sucking her thumb. And I think the dentist may have said something about it. And so I explained to her about that stuff you paint your nails with that,
yes,
has a vicious taste. Oh. And she decided to use it and she gave up sucking her thumb in about 2 weeks. So I think the more, like, we know this from all humans, the more you go with people being ready for change, the easier it is to get them to change.
Yes.
So, you know, if they're ready for change. So I think if you really want to stop one of those habits, probably spend some time talking about, you know, a month or two talking about, oh, it's not great when people pick their nose, just to set up the change.
Will we wrap things up with some great advice that was offered by a mother to this listener? You can pick your friends, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose.
Great, excellent.
Great, great advice. Isabel White is a psychotherapist and author. Isabel, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.